Welcome to the workshop of Overeaters Anonymous Birthday Weekend, Evolve, Putting into Practice the Ninth Tool, Action Plan. Let's start with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Each speaker will share their experience, strength, and hope for 12 minutes on how they apply the ninth tool to their lives. After the speakers, we will have 20 minutes for the writing portion of this workshop, followed with 30 minutes of open sharing at the podium. The timer will be set for 3 minutes, so please wrap up your share when the timer goes off to allow time for others to share. This workshop is being recorded. If you would like to share, you must fill out a release form, which is located next to the podium. It's right here. So later when we have open sharing, if you'll just sign your name before you come up and share, that would be great. Today, our first speaker is Terrell.
Damn. Oh, my name is Terrell. I'm a compulsive overeater. Usually the person with the most abstinence goes last. That way I give me a chance to prepare. This is not fair. Okay, so action plan. Well, first off, let me say, you know, when I came in, we didn't have such a tool. I mean, this is this newfangled thing that you guys created. I don't know why. I don't know what this is about. I got asked to speak last night at 9 o'clock in the evening to speak on the action plan. And it was more like, well, if you can get someone else. And she was like going, well, you just don't do it. It's like, oh, okay, I'll just do it, you know. So I guess the action plan was I showed up this morning and I read the ninth tool last night and this morning just to make sure I knew what it was. Or understand what the OA World Service said what an action plan is, because, you know, to me, it's not like absence or the phone. Lord, you just pick up the phone and make a phone call. What is an action plan? And then I kind of read it some more, and I go like, okay, well, that's what I do. Yeah, I do that too. You know, I started thinking about this. And one thing that came to mind was the seventh tradition, which is we are self-supporting through our own contributions. Now, a lot of people are just, when they hear that, they go, oh, money. We're talking about money. When I hear seventh tradition, I hear labor. Self-supporting through my own labor, which means that I have to be actively involved in my recovery, that I have to actively participate in that, that I just can't sit back and go like, oh, okay, well, I'm waiting for a program for absence to hit me. I'm waiting for the program to change my life. I'm waiting for it to happen, that I actually have to do something. Now, one thing that kind of reminds me of is when I was about, I should probably qualify. My top weight is somewhere around 325 pounds, and I have 34 years of abstinence. And so when I was about 5, 6, 7 years of abstinence, I got a new sponsor. And I was complaining to her about some man, how he wasn't doing it right. You know, men never do it right if you're dating them. And I was like, ugh. And so she had me write, she told me to write an inventory in the seven deadly sins. And I thought, now this is an old school kindergarten teacher, an old woman, what does she know? Why is she having me write in the seven deadly sins? That's a Christian thing. I don't need to be taught right now, you know. But the thought occurred to me that if I do not write this inventory, because I was balking at writing this inventory. I mean, like, really, why do I need to write this inventory? I'm talking about some man here. I'm not talking about, you know, greed, gluttony. So I made the decision to write this inventory. It was one of the best inventories I did. And the reason why I made the decision is because I thought, if I don't keep this commitment to her, that I make committed to make her write this inventory, then when do I, which commitment do I let go of? Which one is, do I not hold? Like, do I get to say, oh, this commitment I'm not going to do, and this commitment I will do. Oh, this commitment I won't do. Then that doesn't, let's go to the meaning of commitment. So I guess the action plan for me on that day was that I was going to, my action plan, I was going to do what my sponsor said. And that was worth it. It was so worth it. I was going to do what my sponsor said. That was my action plan that day. And I did write the inventory, one of the best inventories. You know, I think the reason why action plan is so nebulous is because it changes so much. It's never a definitive thing. Like I said, with a telephone, we can tell a newcomer, if you're in trouble, pick up the phone and call someone. If you're 34 years of abstinence, you tell someone to pick up the telephone and call someone if you're in trouble. An action plan for probably someone who is new is not necessarily going to be my action plan at a certain at 34 years. My action plan is actually, would you probably call it, as my friends like to call it, a routine. You know, I have my routine, and it serves me well. So if you look at, I mean, I guess I could start telling my friends, it's not a routine. I'm not in a rut. It's an action plan, which they probably look at me and go, like, you're crazy. Why do you, you know, because they're not in program. But for me, my action plan is I don't think about it. I go to the gym in the morning. I don't sit and go like, well, should I or should I not? I go to the gym in the morning. I pretty much can tell you what my breakfast is going to be every morning if I'm at least 5 to 6 days a week. I can tell you what it's going to be. It's going to involve some type of plain yogurt and something else. You know, I eat certain restaurants because I know that those are restaurants I can get food, certain food at. So those aren't even action plans in my brain. They're just my routine. That's just what I do. And it serves me well because basically after 34, I mean, it served me well for 34 years. And I've always kind of got that rhythm in my life, which is my action plan. I asked once as a sponsee to explain to me what, to write down what his definition of happiness was. And I loved it so much. I've absconded with it and I share it. And his definition of happiness was a routine with an occasional pleasant surprise. And I think that's what maybe the action plan is talking about. Make a decision to do something to improve your life today and follow through on it. In a sense, we can make a decision to turn my will and my life over the care of God. When I turn my will and my life over the care of my higher power, I really don't think it wants me to spend all my money that I don't have to run up credit card debt. Now I have. But now I've gotten out of that credit card debt. My action plan today is also to make sure that I save for my retirement. You know, I have friends who are, I'm 57, I have friends who are in their 30s and 40s, and they want to travel. It's not my action plan to travel as much as I used to. I used to travel a lot in my 40s. But now I look at that and go, do I want to put my money here, or do I want to put my money here? And my action plan is so that I have a retirement. Which I, when I read this in our literature, that's some of the things they talk about. Like, what are you going to do today that you can keep? I find that a lot of things that as compulsive overeaters, we're pretty much all or nothing type of people. Like, I want to get it all done today. Like, literally, I want to have, you know, $1 million in my savings account for my retirement today. If I don't, then it's like, oh, well, screw it. I don't get it. Got it. I'm self-employed. I have my own business. And this is January, which is my busiest time of the year. And I get overwhelmed with work. I've got a pile of work for me to do. A pile of work. Now, I can sit there and get overwhelmed with it and go like, oh, my God, too much to do. Too much to do. Oh, my God. And shut down. Or I will say, Terrell, pick up the easiest piece and get started. And that's my action plan. My action plan pretty much is I know that when I sit down at my desk, don't tackle the big one first. Tackle the easy one first. Get me into that groove. Because once I get in the groove, then I know that I'm going to be fine. That's my action plan. Because I know that small one is attainable. The small one might be a 15-minute task. But the other task that I really is weighing the most on me might be a 3-hour task, a 7-hour task. And I go like, oh, my God, that 3-hour, 7-hour task, whatever it is the biggest task that weighs on my shoulders. But for me to sit down and go like, okay, hi, you know, being social, blah, blah, blah. Now I sit down at my desk, and now I'm going to go into a 7-hour task. It doesn't work that way for me. So I find that if I get a 15-minute one, then it's just moving from a 15-minute one to 7 hours. And what I saw here was that the action plan has got to be attainable. I have a sponsee that talks a lot about he's got to get this done and this done and this done and this done. And it's like, really, you're going to try and get this all done. I feel like, okay, let's plot out your day. You don't have enough hours in the day to do everything that you say you want to get done today. You know, I have a friend who is a stylist to celebrities. And I don't know if Pete came up with this or someone else did, but he says he'll put the entire ensemble together for the celebrity, the dress and everything, accessorize it completely, then takes one thing off. And I think that that's kind of like what I do with my action plan. I go like, I want to get this and this and this and that, and now I pull one back. Because if I don't get it accomplished today, it's not the end of the world. But if I say I'm going to get it done today, and I make that commitment, and you know how I feel about commitments, but I do not break my commitments. I say, do not write a check with your mouth that your feet are not willing to cash. And so if I look at my commitments and go like, okay, I can do this, but take one away, because that makes it more attainable. I don't think I'm backing away. You know, it's like I said. I've got people who call me for the gym and go like, oh, I want, because they know I work out, and they go like, I want to get to the gym. Oh my, and they'll say like, I haven't been to the gym in a couple of days. Oh, you know, and I look at them and says, do you have a lifetime commitment to the gym? And they go, well, yes. I said, so you didn't make it one day. You'll go tomorrow. Now, I don't know if that's being easy or too kind or buying into someone's bull, but if you say that for me for 7 days, oh, well, see, then I'm going to say, really? Make a commitment. Commit you're going to go to the gym tomorrow. Keep it. Keep that commitment. Because like I said, if I make the commitment, I don't get to choose which one I keep and which one I don't. So I guess to me, an action plan is also really about commitment. One of the reasons I believe I have 34 years of abstinence, two reasons basically. One is I admit that I'm a compulsive overeater. To my very core and very being, I am not a normal eater. And if I ever don't believe myself, give me a big meal of high carbohydrates, and I'll prove it to myself time and time again. So I believe that I'm a compulsive overeater, but I believe I have this commitment to this program. I have a lifetime commitment to Overeaters Anonymous. I have a lifetime commitment to try and improve myself. And that action plan is every day might change, but the overarching action plan is to me to be the best I can with compassion and understanding that I'm not perfect. Because our action plans usually means that we want to be all or nothing, black or white. Let me do it. Let me get it all resolved today. And if you're like me, you ain't going anywhere. You know, I remember when I was new, I'd be like, oh, I want to be this and I want to do that. And I had this whole plan in my head about how far along I was going to be. And that's when it occurred to me, like, what's the rush? I never get to graduate. All it means is each day my life becomes more comfortable. And that's part of the resolve in action plan. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Jeff. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you, Terrell. Let's see. Action plan, for me, is a necessary thing, but doesn't necessarily take the form of anything written or in stone, because I'm an addict. I guess, like Terrell, I should qualify. I've been absent a little over 3.5 years. I have about 110-pound weight loss, but I'm an addict. I am a dyed-in-the-wool food addict, and what that means is that for me, part of my action plan is understanding that, A, every decision I make, I have a crossroads. I can move towards recovery, or I can move towards my illness. I can move towards the sunlight of the spirit, or I can move towards my sort of default position, which is not the sunlight of the spirit. And so I need to think at every crossroads for every decision exactly what it is that I'm going to do. How am I going to approach this decision this moment? What decision am I going to make? Am I going to move towards my recovery, or am I going to move towards the darker places? And so for me, a plan of action becomes a plan of conscious living, of understanding that I have to make these decisions, of understanding that my best thinking typically is not going to send me on the road to recovery. Now, not everything I think of demands contrary action, but many things that I do are demanding of that. So I need to do certain things. And one of the things I found is that, and this is a sort of a cliche saying, but I think about it and it works for me. There's a difference between finding the time and making the time for anything. If I look for the time, I'm never going to find it. I worked till 1 in the morning last night, okay? I could have very easily called Laura and said, you know, texted her at 1:15 saying, still at work, no way. But instead, I just decided I would buy a couple of tubs of coffee and get here. Because I didn't find the time to be here, I made the time to be here. And to me, there's a big distinction, and I have to keep remembering that. One of the things that I had trouble with, you know, in my first couple of years of abstinence is that I abstained from a variety of foods. And I'm sorry. And just so I don't forget, I have them written in this little book that I carry around with me, not everywhere I go, but to meetings and such. And they include cookies, cakes, muffins, ice cream, frozen yogurt, candy, french fries, frozen coffee, drinks, bagels, pretzels, and all sugar-free varieties of such. And then more recently adding rice, pasta, potatoes, and any fried foods. I don't eat those things. That is part of my abstinence. But abstaining from foods isn't the same as proactively eating soberly. And so for me, I had to create an action plan of sober eating. Because I was still allowing, in abstinence, to allow my mood to form the shape and scope of my meals depending on, you know, how my day was going. Crappy day, I'll have seconds. You know, so what if I had 48 ounces of chicken? You know, it's chicken. It's not on this list, so I'm abstaining. It's within the context of a meal, so I'm abstaining. And my sponsor, bless his heart, you know, kept trying to say these words to me to say what that's not really what you should be doing. And I didn't hear him, but I did hear somebody else talk about this plan of sober eating, an action plan of sober eating. And so I went up to him and said, I want that. What do I have to do? And he told me. And so here's what I do in terms of a conscious action plan of eating. I eat 3 meals a day. I have pretty much the same breakfast. Well, I have 2 breakfasts. I have a doctor-prescribed protein bar, or if I eat at a restaurant, 2 eggs and fruit. That's it. Nothing. That, I mean, really dull, I know. But, you know, breakfast is overrated, at least for me. And then at lunch and dinner, I have up to 10 ounces of protein, which is not an insignificant amount of protein, by the way, and I do weigh and measure. And mostly produce. There's some other codicils and other little things that go into it, but that's the basic plan. And then 2 fruit snacks, one between 4 and 6, and I will be lying to you if I told you that at days at 4 o'clock I didn't attack a banana, but between 4 and 6, and 1 an hour or more after dinner. And those are 2 fruits, fruit snacks, or, you know, a couple ounces of nuts or a couple ounces of jerky. Those are, you know, it's all written down and committed. And then at the end of the day, I send what I've eaten to my sponsor. And since I've been doing that, I have had a significant additional weight loss, continued additional weight loss. And so for me, I need to make that plan and follow that plan on a daily basis. And that's very important to my recovery, because if I don't eat soberly, I'm still using food. I may use better foods, and I may use food less. But I'm still using food. So for me, that's the biggest plan of action in terms of my recovery. Now, in terms of my life, I'm a big believer in the spiral-bound notebook. As you can see, I have 3, count them, 3 different books here today. And in one of them, I keep basically my list of things that I need to do. Because as a compulsive person, I will write checks that my feet don't cash. I will prevaricate occasionally. You know, I will say for something that I'm not sure of and then have to go figure it out later. And I'm also, you know, I have a sales component to my business. And so, you know, I'm a bullshitter. And so I need to write down things that I said I was going to do and things that I need to do. Now, what I do is I keep an 8.5 by 11, get a fourth book. And in that book, I draw a line down the middle, and then I draw a line halfway down the right side of the book. And on the left side is things that I need to do or can be taken care of immediately, like go to the post office, call the doctor, have lunch with someone who's going to give me a job next week, that kind of thing. It goes down one panel. And then there's two other panels. One is what I need to do for my recovery. So I have a commitment to read a certain amount of material, to write a certain amount of material, to be at certain meetings. And the other are long-term business goals. You know, I'm in the entertainment business, and so write up that idea about Crazy Overeaters Anonymous meetings, for a TV show, which would never get made. Anyway, so I have that. I have three panels, and I look at those panels on a continuing basis every day. Because otherwise, it would get caught in my the whirling dervish that occasionally my mind becomes. Now, with recovery and serenity, I have tools, other tools, that I get to use to calm my mind down and make my life a little bit easier. But my business life is hectic, my personal life is hectic, and and I need to make the time for my recovery. So I need to keep everything organized, or I will be spinning off into orbit somewhere next to the space shuttle, because that's where my mind will take me. So that is how I created a plan of action for my day. But remembering, in every decision that I make, I can go towards my disease or I can go towards my recovery. I can, and I need to look at that literally in written form. Now, I would love to tell you that pass I bought to the yoga studio that I go at 6 in the morning every morning and take this great yoga, but that's not true. As a matter of fact, I bought it 3 weeks ago, and I've been once, because I can't make the time for everything, because there's only so many hours in a day, and I've been working 12 to 14 hours a day, and I anticipated having more time, but I don't. So I don't always tick off every box on my list. But I also know, and this is also part of my action plan, and I'll tell you this as a short, hopefully, story. I had a woman call me on the phone, and she said to me, I heard you speak about the sober eating plan. This is, by the way, the 30th of December. She said, I heard you speak about this action plan, the sober eating plan, and I want to know what to do. And I said, okay, here's what you do. Right now, this is what you do. She goes, oh, no, I'm going to start this Tuesday. And I said, you can't start it Tuesday. And she said, what do you mean you can't start it Tuesday? I said, you start something now. Now, my father called my mother forever tomorrow, because she was always starting something tomorrow, always starting something tomorrow. I am, I have inherited the tomorrow gene. And I know now, I've learned from people like Terrell and Allison that I don't have tomorrow. I have now. And I said to her, you have to start now. She said, well, I'm going to a New Year's Eve party. I said, yes, me too. And? I wanna is what got us into this mess. I wanna. Okay, great. Me too. But I can't, or I don't. And if you're going to start something, you have to start it now. So when I look at that list, I have to determine what is legitimately something that I can do another day and what legitimately is something I need to do now. Because I will not do anything if I don't do it now. I will not abstain if I don't do it now. Now, this is coming from a guy who started his abstinence on July 5th. Okay? So it's something I've learned. It's something I've learned. But that is, for me, if you want to talk about action plan, to me, the key word to any action plan is now. I can't do it later. I certainly can't do it yesterday. And I know that I can't do it in 3 weeks. If something is worth doing I have to make the time, and I have to make that time now, because it's the only moment that I have. And if I keep doing that, and I keep coming back, and I keep learning from people like you guys, then I anticipate that I can be up here in 30 years like Terrell, as an old grizzled veteran, telling you how well the action plan has worked out. But right now, well, we all look up to you, Terrell. I mean, I don't mean to embarrass you, but it's true. At any rate, if I can do everything I need to do now, and I can keep making most of my decisions to move me towards the recovery side of my fence, then I can come back here and speak to you as a person who is learning how to be happy, joyous, and free, and learning how to live life one day, one moment at a time. Thanks very much.
Hi, my name is Alice. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much. You guys kind of exhausted my head a little bit. I appreciate that. It's interesting that as I was sitting here, I just got a text from one of my friends who is, this is an outward sign of an inward change. Actually, I'm kind of a bird watcher now, and I wasn't a bird watcher when I came into program, but my girlfriend texted me that there's a lot of waxwings and different kinds of birds over at her yard inviting me over to look at the birds. It's so awesome. And so, you know what, I kind of take that as a little bit of a God shot, because for me, this action plan, it's about evolving. It's about changing. It's about becoming a different person. When I came into program, I am 8.5 years abstinent. I'm maintaining a weight loss of 110 pounds. And it's such a miracle. Like, that's crazy. And believe me, the woman who walked into these rooms was not a bird watcher, not even close to being a bird watcher. The whole idea of being foreign. I am not the same person I was when I walked into these rooms, and it's because I've been willing to take direction. A lot of what we talk about, this action plan, my sponsor calls it homework. Here's your homework. Here's your homework. Here's your homework. Here's your homework. And I've just been willing, for the most part, to take direction. So, you know, in thinking about this action plan, because I do have a lot of tricks I play on my disease I just want to annihilate any room for negotiation in my head. I've lost the right to negotiate about my food and a lot of things in my life, too. I really appreciate I was coveting those little notebooks. I like those a lot. When I walked into these rooms, my life was so unmanageable, and I'm a compulsive person, and that didn't help. It helps now a little bit. And just looking at the things that I've done, long-term, short-term, you know, there are some that are very tangible, physical actions that I've taken, and there are some things that I've really just tried to internalize and change the very fabric of my soul to become a different person than I was when I walked in here. And it's been an amazing journey. So in the 12 and 12, the AA 12 and 12, he writes about, we are people who have found a way to get up and out of the pit. So I always have this visual of just walking, you know, in this pit of despair and climbing out, you know, with every new diet or every new idea or every, just, you know, climbing, but never able to get out of this pit. And the action plan, that's just that little bump that gets me out of the pit on a daily basis. And so I have a few things that I do long term. I have a few things I do short term. I have a few things that just need to be attended to now. I have a few things that just one little tiny step at a time. I guess if I can talk about some of those tangible things, I always want to start at the food. When I walked in, boy, that food was a really big deal to me. You know, I had so many ideas and lies and shame and secrets in my head. My head was just crazy about food, and I had to make some very difficult commitments to what I was going to eat, and then eventually it became what I was not going to eat as well. You know, I started, my abstinence is 3 meals a day, 2 snacks, if I need them. No recreational sugar, no deep fried foods. And so one of my plans of action, which of course was homework, is that I have to tell somebody when my head is going crazy. I have to tell somebody when I'm binging or when I'm thinking of binging. I mean, sometimes that's just how it is. I have to tell somebody. I have to pitch it at a meeting. I have to call my sponsor. I have to text somebody. I have to be honest and accountable. That's what a lot of these action plans are also. So this program is about being accountable for my food, for my money. This is not that program. For my food, but for my time, for my emotions and my feelings, just being accountable for that. And these tools are how I do it. So I have to pick up the phone and I have to tell my sponsor, I'm driving out of the parking lot and I have a 16-ounce package of blueberries. It's in a plastic. I'm eating it. I'm sitting here. I've got figs on the seat next to me. I'm eating them. And then we make a decision. Okay, your homework is you're going to put that food on your abstinence list. You know, I have to be very honest about my food. When it came to my food also, I just determined for me, this is not for everybody, I just need to eat my own food. I can't eat other people's food for the most part, even when they bring it to my house. You know, sometimes I think, well, she brought it to my house, so it must be my food. Deviled eggs with bacon in them. That's not my food. I want it to be my food. And I took it as mine and suffered the consequences of that. I had to tell my sponsor, I ate deviled eggs with dinner. She said, how many? Ten. Who eats 10 deviled eggs? Thank you. Right? 10 deviled eggs with bacon. So, okay, so that's on my abstinence list now. You know, great. Just... I had to call. I texted her once, and she said, "I said, the fruit platter, that watermelon is like vibrating when I look at it. Is that an invitation? Because I have a snack left." She said, "Walk away. That's on my plan of action. Walk away. Just walk away. Throw it away. That's one of my plans of action." Throw it away. Those deviled eggs, throw them away. That food that, you know, okay, here I go. Live with my mother-in-law. Hello. She's old school. She doesn't want to eat it, but she doesn't want to throw it away. Sits in the refrigerator. It gets bad. I say, you think it's time to throw that? Oh, I think we got a few good days left. When she moved in, we have two refrigerators. I said, Mom, you go ahead and use this refrigerator for you and Dawn and, you know, this kitchen refrigerator. That's okay. I'm going to keep my food in the refrigerator in the service porch, and I'll tell you about my food in a minute because it's pretty glorious. But I said, I'm going to put my food back here. So my food, okay, here's action item. Buy Ziploc containers. Put it on your list. Buy Ziploc containers. Because then I pack my food. Buy square Ziploc containers. The round ones are kind of a waste of space when you think about it. Right? Like, they don't ever fit in. If you get square, you can just nestle. I'm a little OCD. So I make up my salads. I make up my breakfast. I cut them into squares. I make up my food, and I get it prepared because I work full-time. And I take it all to that back refrigerator, and I have it in there, and I have everything lined up, and my little thing. And one day, in the morning, I come out, and I open up the refrigerator. Do you know it is all knocked over? All my food is knocked over, and there's all kinds of bread and cheese and salami, and like, wow. I got so upset. What do I do when I'm really upset? I pray, thank you, God, for this program that teaches me when I'm really upset, who's vibrating now? And I went, and I prayed, and God said to me, my higher power, I call him God, said, my own refrigerator. Look in your closet. You've got plenty of room. I looked in my closet. I have plenty of room to put a refrigerator. I have a picture if you want to see it. I have a really nice, like, bachelor-sized refrigerator in my closet. My friends, you've all seen it. I have my refrigerator back there, right? That's crazy, but how good does that feel? Doesn't that feel good when you think about it? It's my food in my refrigerator. I prepare it. I put it in there. It's mine. I don't have to worry about her. I still meddle in her food, and I know I'm not supposed to, but I go in there, it's like, that is so gone. You know what? If they leave bread too long in the bread box, throw it out. Okay, so that's one plan of action. Throw it out. Buy Ziploc containers. That was another plan of action. Let's see here. Oh, drink black coffee. That was a plan of action. I had to give up cream. My sponsor said, again, take direction. My sponsor said, cream is butter. Really? Yes, cream is butter. So drink black coffee, because I didn't think that I could live without cream in my coffee. I also was willing to set up an online calorie tracking program, which, you know, I'm really rebellious. That did not come easy. And a lot of the stuff that we talk about when we say, oh, so now I do this and now I do that, my disease does not want me to do those kinds of things. When I initially started a program, the gift of writing is just indispensable. I write. I find such relief and such freedom, but I didn't want to write. And I didn't think that I could write. I didn't think that I needed to. I didn't think I had to. And finally I said, I can't, right? I just can't. Why can't I? I don't have anywhere to write that's private. Well, I had to carve out a place that was private. For me, it sounds silly, but I also found that I like nice writing paper. And there's a certain kind of pen and a certain kind of paper that I go to Staples and I make sure that I have plenty that helps me to use this tool. Because any recovery that I have is because I'm willing to pick up a tool. This ninth tool just really, it forces up and shears up the other tools that we use. Like when we're talking about making those phone calls, making outreach calls. Thank you. I'll put on my calendar, on my electronic calendar, that I need to call Joanne, but I'll put Joanne's telephone number right next to it. So when it comes up on my calendar, on my phone, all I have to do is hit that little button. There's no, oh, I'm driving and it's a can't. It's, you know, I take the I can't out of it. I do want to share, I have very good friends in this program, a girlfriend who decided that she wanted to sing, you know, she wanted to sing. And she'd always been told she was a terrible singer, because isn't that right? So she took singing lessons. She sang at her wedding. She sang to her husband at her wedding. Who does that? Beautiful women do that. I have another friend who came from the East Coast. They don't swim on the East Coast, but she moved to California. She went to the YMCA. She took swim lessons. Now she swims. Now she's playing the drums, too. I mean, this program is about change. What's one little step that I can do to make a change and become the person that I'm supposed to be? Wow. Okay, let's see if I can wrap it up in any... Oh, here's the biggest one. Here's the biggest one. Who can watch TV like a teenager? Right? Turn off the TV. Set the alarm 10 minutes earlier. If there's anything that's contributed to my abstinence and to my serenity and to being connected with God, I was willing to set that alarm 10 minutes earlier, then 10 minutes more, then 10 minutes more, then 10 minutes more. I get up at a crazy hour, but you know what? By the time I leave the house at 8 o'clock, I've got, you know, 4 good hours of recovery under my belt. I'm probably going to get through the day abstinently. I just set that alarm 10 minutes earlier, 10 minutes earlier, because I like to stay up and watch TV. Oh, I got Amazon Prime, too, and I can, so, I, you know, they let me know when Downton Abbey is ready. I don't want to tell you what I watch. Sons of Anarchy. Breaking Bad. So there you go. Time's up. Thank you for letting me share.
Let's give Terrell, Jeff, and Allison a round of applause. I'm Laura, recovering compulsive overeater and anorexic. Hey, everyone. I just wanted to read this because people will buy these tapes, and I want them to know our workshop portion. So this is, if you turn to the second page, you can read what action plan is on the first page, and I'm going to read it now. And then the writing assignment is on the back page. And there's extra pieces of paper and notepad if you need more room. Okay, so evolve, putting into practice the ninth tool, action plan. What is an action plan? An action plan is the process of identifying and implementing attainable actions, both daily and long-term, that are necessary to support our individual abstinence and emotional, spiritual, and physical recovery. While the plan is ours, tailored to our own recovery process, most of us find it important to work with a sponsor, a fellow OA member, and or appropriate professional to help us create it. This tool, like our plan of eating, may vary widely among members and may need to be adjusted as we progress in our recovery. For example, a newcomer's action plan might focus on planning, shopping, and preparing food. Some members may need a regular fitness routine or improve strength and health, while others may need to exercise limits in order to retain more balance. Some of us may need an action plan that includes time for meditation and relaxation, or provides strategies for balancing work, personal interactions with family and friends, and our program. Others may need help to organize their homes, deal with their finances, and address medical, dental, or mental health issues. Along with working the steps on a daily basis, an action plan may incorporate use of the other OA tools to bring structure, balance, and manageability into our lives. As we use this tool, we find that we develop a feeling of serenity and continue to grow emotionally and spiritually while we make measurable progress one day at a time. Taken from Overeaters Anonymous World Service website. And then it says, my part. The purpose of this workshop is to gain a better understanding of what the ninth tool is, as well as to inspire ideas of how we can attain our goals by either working with our sponsor, an action plan buddy, or a professional. There is no right or wrong way to practice the ninth tool. The best way to use this tool is to take the next right action. And then it's got questions. What are some of the items you need help putting into action? For example, making a dentist appointment, exercising 3 times per week, planning and committing meals for the day, saving money to purchase needed items, making time with family/friends a priority, etc. Make a list of what items or in which areas you would like to take action upon. Next, think about what you would like to check, who you would like to check in with. That could help you attain your daily, weekly/monthly goals. Is it your sponsor, a dear fellow, a therapist, a religious figure in your community? What actions are you willing to take to see that you get the help you desire? And then it says, please use this blank space to write. And the acronym for action is any change toward improving one's nature. So if we can set the timer for 20 minutes, go ahead and have your writing response, whatever comes to you. And after we can talk about it in your open sharing and you can focus on that or anything else that you need to check in about.
Have you all finished your writing? We will have time for 3-minute shares. I am the timer. I will hold up the little thing that says time's up. So if you'd like to share, form a line on this side. And if you would share about what you wrote, your action plan, you will also need to sign a waiver form, which will be right on the podium as you come up. Who would like to begin sharing? Please come up towards this side and we will begin. Of course, before you speak, sign the waiver form, please. And speak into the microphone. And you are being recorded.
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi, and I'm signing my name as I speak slowly before I share. Okay. So, you know, it's the same old stuff that's been on my list for many years. Regular exercise, planning, preparing food and meals, prayer and meditation, all these things doing regularly. And I appreciate so much what the speakers shared about routine. The plan of action is just one's routine, whether I feel like it or not. At least that's what I heard, part of what I heard. Because I have that defiant, you know, I'm a 53-year-old child, you know, and I don't want to, you can't make me. And that defiant, resistant voice I allow to win out and win the negotiation. And I guess, you know, a lot about this is suffering the pains of growing up. So those are, you know, structuring my day. I have a problem of luxury. I'm very fortunate that I'm not working a regular job like I used to, having been self-supporting through my own contributions for 30, 35 years. I now don't have to work. And so it's a nice problem to have, which I've always wished for. But now I have so much I have time and not a a structure to it, and it's very easy for me to procrastinate and put things, everything off. I've always been a compulsive list maker. Part of my struggle, part of my challenge here, and I guess a segue to a question, and I don't know if there's a Q&A portion of this format, or maybe one of the speakers can speak to me afterwards if there isn't. But having been a compulsive list maker, to-do list, I have to-do lists, and they're usually a setup for failure, disappointment, and feeling badly about myself for what I don't get done. And so I then have come to not wanting to do it at all. It's kind of like making New Year's resolutions, you know, just really, you know, feeling horrible about falling short of the mark. So I struggle with how much of this is an act plan of action and how much of it is control and taking control, and where is God, is God's will in all this? So it's more of a question than an answer, and that's what I need experience, strength, and hope on. And in terms of the other part of this exercise, you know, so my goals are, you know, carving out a meditation space. I appreciated one of the speakers talking about that, a space for writing, and time's up. People to assist me with this, I'd like personal trainer, nutritionist, and someone to help me plan meals, grocery shop, and teach me how to cook. That's my fantasy. Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you, Laura, for this excellent workshop. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Carrie Ann, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I have been asked to say I would like to take action in these areas. I need help putting into action these things. These are what I wrote down. A night step letter to my brother, buy a phone for my sister, write a will, create a trust for my sister, find a sponsee, strength training routine, a cardio routine, practice my Lindy Hop steps, check my budget monthly, continue to plan for meeting my budget, clean my bedroom, organize and do what tasks for my sister's health insurance, pay bills, file, support my mom's needs. Then the other question was, who would I like to check in with? What action am I willing to take to see I get the help I desire? And I wrote down, I'm going to keep looking and thinking about that question daily. And so what I just want to comment is that I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude that I get to take action, because part of my disease and the way I lived my life for so long was just to feel bad about myself and to find little tasks to feel bad about. That was really my action plan in the past. So I'm just grateful to be able to stand up here and tell you guys I'm participating in my recovery. And I have a hope that I... Just writing this list and standing up here makes I get to experience just the gratitude of moving forward and having an action plan. And I'm what gives me the opportunity to do this is that there's I came to believe that there was a power greater than myself, and that is like the biggest relief in my life, that, oh my gosh, I don't have to just spend on what I'm not doing. And I just wanted to share that with you guys. Thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Lori, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm signed. Unlike someone else who spoke, I hate lists. So I made 5 of them. My first list is of things that I don't want to do. I started a job recently, and one of the quotes I heard was that successful people do what failures don't want to do. So I decided I wanted to succeed at this, and so I was going to pay attention to long-timers and learn. So one of the first things on my list is get over my terror of public speaking. Apparently that's working. I think it's more important what my lists are than what the details of what's on them. My second list is of things that I need to do every day. These are things, and primarily other than eating, which is following my plan of eating, are OA activities these days, not counting work, because that's one of the things I don't want to do. And my third list is things to do as needed. Pray gratitude is on both of those lists, because having a higher power and someone to talk to, and I wake up in the morning and my first feeling is, thank you, God, for another day. Sorry. My fourth list, and it's down in fourth place because it really is less important, things I want to do. It's easy to do those things first, but I don't get anywhere playing solitaire. So if I do the things I don't want to do first, including going for a walk, cleaning up the kitchen, I've accomplished something. And the last thing is things that I haven't done yet. There are always things that are in the back of my mind. Make new friends. This is a great place to do that. Work the steps again. I work the steps every day as best I can. But I mean, go through 1 to 12, answer questions, do the Working the Steps website, and think OA all the time. Every time I see something, I see a mountain, it's like gratitude. And it's gratitude to OA because I found gratitude. I stopped feeling sorry for myself. And thank you for sharing.
Hi, Michelle. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Michelle.
Thank you all for your shares. I've never shared at the birthday party, so I wanted to do that today. Having an action plan and working the steps is the exact opposite of what my head tells me I should do and the things that I should do. And I'm so grateful I got a sponsor when I came in who... She got me on an action plan right away, even though I didn't know what that was. But it was these rituals that I do in the morning. And somebody else I heard say that the word ritual is in the word spiritual. So it's my way of turning my will and my life over to God every day. And I have a plan. I have a food plan. And all of these things have I've been abstinent for 3.5 years. And for the last over a year and a half, I've been maintaining a 90-pound weight loss. And these things that I learned to do is, like, it helps. Like, I learned to do it around the food, and I learned to do it in the rooms where it's safe, and then I can take it out into the world. And I really liked your list that you talked about, Jeff, because I think that that would help me. One of the things, like, I'm good with planning my food. I do it every day. I eat what I plan, and I tell my sponsor. But it's those other things. It's like I came in with my life so unmanageable, and I'm a compulsive person too. And there's just these things in my life now that I want to be manageable in all areas. And I really think that list would help, and just, you know, having those, you know, like, what do I need to do immediately and what do I need to do? That word attainable it's like if I can make that list, I can see, and I need to see it in written form. So if I can see it, then I know, like, what's really attainable, what can I do, and it's just really helpful. I'm glad I came to this workshop. A lot of people talk about the ninth tool is like working out or something, but it's really about the things we do each day to maintain our spiritual condition, and so I'm just really grateful to be here. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Molly. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic.
Hi, Molly.
I love that. Ritual is in the word spiritual. My action plan, I did it with the thought in mind that a very close friend once gave me, I guess, a placard that says, you know, live as if fear of failure is not an option. So one is, I don't know why I'm so nervous. I don't have a fear of public speaking usually, but one is to make the last hour of my night with my boyfriend a technology-free zone. And in a less codependent way, it would be to have an hour of technology-free time in my day, every day. It's just another potential addiction. Check in with my sponsor more often. It can feed into literally vagueness of my program. So checking in, just like I don't chase my sponsee, my sponsor is not going to call me and ask me how I'm doing. I'm going to open a new bank account and actually save money in it. And it can be a checking. It doesn't need to be called a savings account. So take that mask off that. Actually put money in there and save it. I have a couple of part-time jobs, but I'm going to apply for a full-time job and try and do it one day at a time, which brings me to my favorite thing I've heard thus far today in this workshop, which is be my own stylist and take off one of my things that I do because I tend to overextend myself, which I know is shocking for a compulsive overeater. Be accountable to another person for anything that I eat at my parents' house, which is a very, very triggering place and tends to have a lot of sexy food items in it. So knowing that before I go over to my parents. Eating, another great thing that I heard, eating my sober foods, which include quite a bit of fruit and vegetables, abstinently. That's really important. Being of service to someone else in some manner every day. Make a list, a morning list, of nourishing and depleting things, and hoping to end my day with one more nourishing than depleting. Putting loving reminders in my phone. I can put reminders for every other meeting I have, but a reminder to say thank you, to, like I just, one of my aforementioned, to do something nourishing. Try a new recipe once a week. Be a little more adventurous in that regard. And not even touching my phone while I drive, which will help me be more mindful. Thanks.
I'm Greg, a compulsive overeater from Arizona. I have been abstinent a little over 4 years, maintaining a 45-pound weight loss. And, Terrence, I've been abstinent from television for a little over 2 years. We have no TV in our house. We have a flat screen that's not plugged in. Figures it looks nice on the wall. Anyway, my action plan, first off, for me, an action plan is a tool which helps me work the steps. That's the purpose of action plans, in my opinion, and also in the OA material, helps me work the steps. So the most important action plan for me, which I wrote down, is to enlarge my spiritual life. Every day to enlarge my spiritual life. So I ask myself, will my actions enlarge my conscious connection with God just today? just for today. And to improve my conscious connection with God, here's what I wrote down. I need to reduce my selfishness, fear, and resentments. That's my most important thing. Those things separate me from God and move me towards the food. Guaranteed. So here's what I'm working on now, which I wrote down. This is the first time I've written this about this particular issue. I love to travel. I don't love to save for retirement. Okay, I'm 56 years old, and I need to have a little bit more balance there. Now, tell me if this is a little bit out of balance. We'll take a vote. These are our trips planned for this year. San Francisco, Sedona, Washington, D.C., Cleveland for the OA convention, San Diego, and just a little side trip to Israel and Jordan for a month in the fall. Is that selfish or what? In L.A., which I'm here already. Now, I have another trip planned for Alaska in May. Selfishness. I want to do what I want to do. Fear. There's some financial insecurity there. If I spend the money on travel, there might be a slight connection with less in retirement. Resentment. My wife doesn't want to do all this traveling, so I'm pissed off at her. If you see her later, what stays in this room, what you hear in this room, you know the rest of it, because she is here with me. So I have selfishness, fear, resentment. My action plan on this issue is to work all 12 steps with my sponsor relating to this trip to Alaska. And that is my action plan that I'm going to start on today when I speak to my sponsor later. I'm going to make that commitment to him. It would be nice if he took the trip to Alaska with me. Okay, make working this step a lot easier. And with that, I will pass.
My name is Jackie. I'm a compulsive overeater and alcoholic.
Hi, Jackie.
I wandered into these rooms 24 years ago, a size 22, and in this program I have been a size 12 for 23 years, not including the time I was in chemo where the doctor said, you will gain 30 pounds, and I did. I think if he'd have said 20, I probably would have gained 20, but he said I would gain 30 pounds, and I did, and I lost 30 pounds as soon as we were done with it. Because there are lots of steroids in chemo. Anyway, sitting back there listening, and the one thing that kept rolling through my head was, in 1997, I had a triple bypass. I joined a gym. I worked out at the gym for 3 years. I moved. The gym wasn't on my way to work. I didn't go to the gym anymore. Did a little exercising at home. But I kept the registration in the gym going every year because it was only $10 a month, you know. So I still have it. A year ago, they built a new gym from this company 3 minutes from my house. Have I been there yet? Yeah, I went over and looked it over. No, that was it. 6 months ago, I had a little heart event, and the doctor changed a lot of things in my life. First off, she put 5 new food groups on my abstinence list. Didn't make me happy, but I do it. She added to my exercise program, which I'm doing. And for 6 months, I've said, I need to go 3 minutes away on Friday morning, it's a day off, and walk in the pool. This is what I have to do, and I have said that every Thursday for the last 6 months. So that was what I wrote down on my list, and I was back there fussing and fuming. I didn't want to do it. I have no desire to do it. It's not going to happen. The gift of this program, young woman who put this together, Lauren, came by, stopped for a minute, wrote down her phone number, and asked me to call her after I've been there the first time. You know, when God talks, you listen. So I will be out of town next week, but the Friday after, I am committing that I will go over to the gym and I will walk in the water. I will probably pout. I will probably sulk. I will probably carry on. But I made the commitment, so I'm stuck with it. Thank you for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Debbie, and I'm a compulsive overeater from Phoenix, Arizona. I have been in the program for about a year and 9 months and released about 63 pounds and counting so far. So this exercise was some of the items that I need help putting in action and who will I be accountable to and what actions am I willing to take to see that I get the help that I need. So I'm going to work backwards. I'm willing to use the phone. I'm willing to be accountable to my sponsor, and I'm going to share what is the biggest thing on here on my list that I need help putting into action, and that is not quitting or feeling guilty if I don't do something perfectly, because that's a really big deal for me. I'm a black and white thinker, as someone mentioned earlier. I don't know if that's, you know, unique to me or if we're all that way. It's a big problem for me. And guilt sucks. Guilt is, to me, is like, okay, I've got a higher power that wants me to be happy, joyous, and free, and I've got a lower power that wants to suck me under, and guilt is one of that person's tools that he will use to try to make me feel terrible and get me away from my higher power. And so not quitting or feeling guilty if I don't do the rest of my list perfect is my biggest goal on this list. And I just wanted to share that with everybody. So thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Laura. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and anorexic. There's just a couple minutes left, and I just totally gonna cry. 5 years ago in January, I was eating out of the trash. And 5 years later, I'm able to be the workshop's chair and take a lot of actions to put this together and to remind myself that this isn't about me. Like, I get to show up and be of service, and I'm so grateful. Jackie gets to call me when she goes to the gym because I had the willingness to give her my number. Like, I have the courage to, like, call people and ask, like, hey, can you show up at the workshop and be of service? And they said yes. I remember coming into program, I was 21. I was 21, I'm 26 now, and I looked at adults and I was like, oh, how do you do it? Like, how do you wake up and go to work? Like, I'm just eating out of the trash. I'm, like, flunking out of college. Like, my life was a wreck. And my life is so different today because I take action. I have sponsees. I have a sponsor. My sponsor has a sponsor. I donate things that trigger me 9 out of 10 times out of the day. And I do get to show up and, like, be one among many. And I'm so, so grateful for that. So thank you all for being here. And I'm really excited to see how the rest of this weekend unfolds. So thanks. Okay, so let's just stand in a circle and end with the Serenity Prayer.